Genesis 44, verse 1.
And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words.
If you remember last chapter we studied, Joseph invites all of his brethren. They came, he gave them the food, he gave them 5 times more to Benjamin, and they ate and had a good time. And according to this scripture, they stayed overnight. I mean, the morning comes, sun rises, now they are going back. But before they go, Joseph commands that his servants, who was the master of his house, he says, fill the sacks with as much as grain they can take it. Last time they had to purchase with the money. Now he's saying, don't worry. Fill the sack with whatever the money they give it to you. Just think they give money for 10 pounds, give 50 pounds. And give all the grain, corn or whatever, and put the money in the sack's mouth and let them go. And he even said, the youngest one, Benjamin, put my silver cup. Now these people already are seeing the silver cup, because Benjamin and all the brothers were sitting in one side and Joseph was sitting another side. They were eating separately, but Joseph was using the silver cup. That means he was rich. He was almost second to Pharaoh. They might have seen the cup. So now Joseph is telling this his servant, fill the sack with the food, all the grain, put the each and everyone's money in the mouth of the sack, and the youngest one, put the money and everything, plus keep my cup, silver cup, in the sack, and let these people go. Now these people are happy. They were staying overnight. It doesn't say they ate the breakfast or what, but I believe they had a lunch with him, because noontime Joseph came. They might have a dinner with him. It's not mentioning here. They might have breakfast with him early in the morning, and now they are going for the journey. When they're going for the journey, he sent them away with everything what they needed for the journey. And now they are going. They're happy, joyful, talking about, you know what, last time we had a problem, but this time this man is good and he gave us everything. And they might be very happy and joyful. Now they're going. And this man, Joseph, said to this servant, as they go, let them pass the city boundary. And when the city boundary they pass, you go and catch up with them and stop them and say to these people, you know what? We treated you very well and you're doing evil for good. Now, these people have no idea what this man is saying. But he's trying to tell them what the evil thing they did. They said, you ate, we gave you food and everything, and now you've stolen the cup of my master. And the Egyptians, they used to take the cup. Nowadays, they have what you call crystal ball or something to tell the fortune. But in those days, they had the cup. And they will fill the water in this silver cup and see the bubbles, how many bubbles are there, or anybody's face or something, and they predict the future or tell them the fortune. So it was famous in those days. So he's saying, you took the silver cup, my master predicts the divine things, and you stolen that cup. Why did you do evil for good? And this, all these words, Joseph put it in this servant's mouth. And exactly, he says in the verse 6, and he spake unto them these same words. Means whatever Joseph told the man, exactly he is telling all these brethren. He did not change the word. Now, just think about these people. They are very bold. They know that we did not take the cup, and Benjamin cannot take it, or nobody can take it, and they were all together, so they knew we did not take the cup. And so once you are not guilty, you don't feel guilty. If you are guilty, people can look at your face and tell you that you did something. In India, some of the people go without the pass, without the ticket. And so the ticket collector will be standing at the gate. And all these people come. And the people do not have a ticket. They are going behind somebody or looking here and there. He'll say, hey, you, come here. He said, how did the man come to know that I do not have a ticket? It's very easy to find out that if you are guilty, you're doing something wrong. And some other people, what they do, they want to find out you're lying or not. They give you a handful of rice. And they put it in their mouth and they say, okay, now you chew it. When they put it in their mouth is dried up. And then they say, okay, now take it out. And as soon as they take it out, the rice is almost dried. Why? Because the saliva is dried up because of fear. And they find out, you are the one. You did it. Otherwise, they will say, you know what, we are 10 people standing here, but the thief who has something, the feather on his head, I can see, and that's the thief. The person who did the stealing, that's the person who is going to try to clean up the feather, not knowing. So all these the tricks we know to find out the thief. Some of the people, what they do, if they want to find the thief, somebody did the murder or something, they will give him some drink or something and let him sleep in certain place, and some watchmen will be watching, and in his dream, and he will say, oh Lord, I did it. I'm sorry, that other guy told me to do it. I didn't want to do it. And all of these things they can tell. So there are various ways we can find out who is the thief. But these people, they are not thief. They did something wrong before. They lied before. But now their life is almost changed because of this problem. Because they said, this is what we did. And we did something wrong. And this is what is happening. Now these people are bold enough. They have no fear that anybody took the cup. Let's read the verse 7. Genesis 44, verse 7.
And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing.
Now they are thinking about God. God is going to rescue us. Once you trust in God, no matter what people will do, sometimes people will tell you to lie. If you take a lawyer and go for some case, you're innocent. And you know you're going to win. But the lawyer will put some more things in your mind. He will say, say this. And they will try to make you liar. And the other party person will catch you in your lying. And even though you're innocent, you go to jail. Because the lawyer messed you up. But if you are truthful, you don't need a lawyer. But sometimes you don't know how to talk to judge, so you need a lawyer. But you have to tell the lawyer, I am not going to lie. Whatever you're telling me, I do not want to lie. I am telling the truth, and I'm going to stick to my thing. And if you want to defend me, defend. Otherwise, I'm going to find another lawyer. That's what you have to learn. So these people are trusting in God. Let's read verse 8.
Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold?
Now see, he's pleading his case. He said, listen, last time you put money in our sack. When we went home, we saw the money. We bought that money back, and we got extra money. We gave extra money. So if you wanted to steal that money, we don't have to bring that money back. So how can we steal your stuff, silver or gold? We got the money. We gave the money. We are not thieves. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 9.
With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen.
This is the great mistake people do. You know what he's trying to say? If you find that silver cup in any brother's sack, let that person die. That's the wrong thing to say. And another thing he said, then we will be your slave. Everybody will be your slave. In the excitement, people sometimes say something foolish thing. You remember some kings tells somebody to dance or do something and say, ask anything after the half of my kingdom. The point I'm making, many, many kings made a mistake. And sometimes we make a mistake. Sometimes if somebody's birthday come, ask me anything, I'll bring it to you. And they don't know the child can ask something. They say, okay, mommy, I don't remember right now anything. How about tomorrow I'll tell you. And he goes and asks some of my friends, and my mom told me, any gift you want. And they say, okay. Then the person will say, how about a car? Oh, no, I cannot afford the car then. He will tell you certain things which you cannot afford. But if you don't open your mouth and don't tell anything you want, I'll give it to you, this would not happen. So I said to some people, when they start promising, don't promise false promises. If you cannot deliver the promise, don't promise. Don't say, I'll give anything you want. So I do not say anything. You want to surprise somebody, give something and surprise them. But don't tell them ahead of time. You know what? Next month, I'm going to give you $100. And next month, some crisis came. So you could not fulfill your promise. What you do then? You don't say anything. You don't promise anything. You don't say anything which you cannot fulfill the promises. These people are doing some mischiefs with us. Last time, they put the money. There is no guarantee they can put some silver cup in somebody's bag. Simple as that. You don't have to promise them and you give word to them, if somebody finds the cup, let that person die. You remember that Jacob did the same thing. When the Laban came and he said, somebody stolen my guards. He said, okay, if anyone you find the guards in their position, let that person die. What happened? Rachel died. So you never promise something and never say something hastily without knowing. People can make mistakes. So now here he's saying, let if somebody find something, if you find something in somebody's sack, let that person die and we will be slave to you. But see, that man knew, even though he said die, they said they cannot kill Benjamin. So this man changes the word. He said, oh, no, we are not going to kill. Let's read the verse 10.
And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless.
Now he said, I'm not going to kill that person, but I'm going to make that person my slave. He's talking behalf of Joseph. He said, Joseph wants this person to be his slave. And so we are not going to kill him. We are not even to keep you as a prisoners, or whoever has the, what do you call, the silver cup. Okay, let's read the verse 11.
Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack.
Now this person gave them food last time. When the sack was to open, he did not go to Benjamin. He's the one put it in the Benjamin's sack. He could go direct and say, this is it. But he wanted to make these people a little bit more frustrated, thinking he started with the Reuben. And God started looking each and everyone's sack. Nothing is found. So they got a little bit confidence. Now nobody's having. And when they found opening Benjamin's sack, they found the cup. Can you imagine Benjamin's father, Jacob, said to these people, you know what? You're taking my son. I don't want any mischiefs happen. I don't want my son die or misplace or something. And so Judah gave the promise, no, sir. Daddy, I will bring Benjamin back. Otherwise, you can blame me forever. And so I'm going to protect your son. And he promised him. Father said, okay, go ahead. And he said, okay, God will have some favor in your side. And that man will treat you a little bit better. And gave all these good fruits and to Joseph as a gift, thinking that man will not be harsh. Now just think, all the brothers are standing there. All of a sudden, this Benjamin's sack comes the silver cup. They almost got heart attack. They would have been dropped dead right there. But God gave them grace, but they are bubbling in their heart. Now what's going to happen? This man said, we even said, if somebody has the cup, let that person die. But this person is gracious. He said, well, we are not going to kill you. We are just going to take that person as a slave. What's going to happen? How are we going to go back? How are we going to talk to our dad? Everything failed what we said. I don't know what's going on. So now these people are very confused, very afraid, do not know what to do. Now in this kind of situation, what do? Just pray. They don't say they start praying, but they start about thinking about something. Lord, you have to give us grace. You have to give us grace to bring the Benjamin back to the daddy. And that's what their idea was. And see what's happening. Verse 13.
Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground.
See, last time Joseph was not even there. They were invited for the lunch. And Joseph came in the noontime. This time, Joseph sent his people, and Joseph is still waiting to bring those people back. Now, all these 11 brothers, they are not like very skinny people. They have no strength or something. I don't know how many servants went to bring the sack, but he said talking about one servant went. Just think, those brethren start thinking, you know what? This person doesn't know our language. Let's run away, get hold of this man, let's kill. Do you know Levi and Simeon killed the whole city and killed everybody? So these people are courageous. If they wanted to kill this man, they would have killed him and bury him just like a Moses, bury that man in the sand, and nobody was there he thought nobody's watching. So these people could have done this. But they said, no, we are going to trust in God. God is going to come to rescue us. Something is happening, but we are going to talk to them. And the word of God said, Joseph was right there waiting for these people to come. And so now these people are coming. Let's see what happens, verse 15.
And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found.
Now, when the Joseph says, You know what? You cannot cheat me. I'm the person divine. And I know I am a godly man. That's why I found out somebody took my cup. Now, Judah is saying, You know what? We cannot defend ourselves. We are in your kingdom. We have no way to convince you who put the cup in there. We cannot say Benjamin didn't take it. We have no defense. Why he's saying we have no defense? He said only God is doing this. Because we did wickedness in our lives. And because of that, this is punishment God is giving to us. So we are not going to blame you. We are not going to blame servant. We are not blaming who put the cup. But this is God's doing. And so we are all your servant. So he said, we cannot defend ourselves. We don't know what to say. He just saying, I don't know what to do. Now, verse 17.
And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace unto your father.
Now, Joseph is saying, you know what? Whatever happened, I'm not going to bound you people as a servant forever. Just the one person I'm going to keep. I'm going to keep one person, Benjamin, as a slave, and take the food for your father and your family. And so Joseph didn't know what these people are going to say or what these people are going to do. Joseph might be thinking, you know what? They will give the Benjamin to me and they might go. Why? Because they sold me. They didn't care about me at that time. How can they care about this Benjamin? And so now they are big enough and they can just run away for their life and they might trade the Benjamin, because if you remember, go back to the Genesis chapter 37 and read verse 26 and 27. There they wanted to kill the Joseph, but the Judah is the one say, oh, don't do bloodshed. We can sell him to the Ishmaelites. Please read.
And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content.
See, Judah was saying, you know what? We don't want to kill our brother. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and we don't want his blood on us. Now, he's the spokesperson. He's the one talking. And I was thinking, why this Judah is talking? He's not an older brother. He's not a, what do you call, Reuben. Why he's talking? But the Judah is changed man. If you remember, Judah made the Tamar pregnant, not knowing that is his daughter-in-law. And somebody told him that your daughter-in-law is pregnant. What did he say? She should be killed. And when the lady gave the proof who the man is, then he said, she is much more righteous than me. So he got transformed. His life was changed. From that time onwards, he started getting a little bit bold enough to do the things. But at the same time, he did not want to kill his brother, but let sell to somebody. Now the different story. Now this time, Judah is not going to sell Benjamin to Joseph and go with the food and have peace and say, Daddy, look this. We got a lot of food for the Benjamin's sake. If the Benjamin is in prison, he's not killed, we can go and see him every time we go to buy food. But our children are not going to die. You're not going to die. So he had a good chance to let the Benjamin go there. Their grandchildren are dying. And time is wasting here. But see what he say. Go back to the Genesis 44. Verse 16.
And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him, and said, "O my lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh."
Now, Judah is saying, you know what? You are a good man. You are telling us, take the food, go home, feed your father, and everything is good. I cannot defend myself. We cannot say how this cup came. But let me tell you something. Can I speak to you privately? Can I speak to you in your ears? Means privately. I don't want all the brothers to know what I'm talking about. Can I talk to you privately and don't be angry at me? Because you are just like a Pharaoh. He's the second to Pharaoh, but he says you are the king, not the prime minister. We consider you as a king. And I have no courage to talk to you, come close to you, and whisper in your ears, but could you give me permission to talk to you? Now see, this much courage Judah got. He would have said, "Who are you? Stay away. We don't touch the Israeli people or Jewish people. Stay far away from me." But he allows him to talk to him. Let's read the verse 19.
"My lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food."
Here the Judah is explaining everything to Joseph. What he's trying to say, you know what? We were not coming here again. Because my father loves the younger son. In the first time when we came, we did not bring him. Then the second time you told us, if you have the brother, younger brother, bring it. And we told you at that time, my father loves that brother so much. That brother is his life. So we cannot separate father and the youngest brother, my father would die. We already told you, explained to you. But at the same time, we delayed, and we were dying without food. My father says, okay, you go, take the Benjamin with you, and do not harm him. Bring him back. And this is the youngest one. We cannot separate him from my father. And if you do, my father is going to die. He loves him. This is his life. Do you know some people love their children or husband or wife such a way that they cannot live without them? Right. So the point I'm making, when you love somebody so much, and if you do not have God, you will die. There are cases, husband and wife, they love each other so much. When the husband dies, the lady will die within a month or two. If the lady dies, the husband will die within a month or two. And so if their son or daughter, somebody dies and they love too much, and those people, they die. Or sometimes they become crazy, they drink and all kinds of weird things they do. But when you have God, you will not be doing such a thing. So we have to have faith in God, that God is our source, not my son, not my daughter, not my wife or husband or my friend. So we have to trust in God. Judah is talking to this Joseph, if my brother is not found, my father will die. And so he said it. Don't take my gray hair to the grave. And so he's convincing him, please think about our father. But he doesn't know that's the same father Joseph has. Okay, let's read verse 26.
And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since.
Now, he is telling Joseph what the father said. Father says, go and buy little food. He's trying to say, we did not come to spy the country. We do not want your grain, or we don't want your country. We are dying with food. We don't have any food. So my father says, go and buy little food. Why he said buy little food? Because he was thinking, you know what? This might be the last time I'm sending my son to get the food. And maybe then rain will come. And maybe we'll have prosperity. We don't have to go back to Egypt. So just buy little food. And that's what he was thinking. So he's saying, my father is not a greedy man. He just wanted little food. We just came here to buy little food. We bought your money back. We did everything good. We are not a bad people. My father had only one wife. They are not saying that Leah. They are Leah's children. One wife. Two children, one is dead somewhere, and the youngest one is there. So we do not want to keep our Benjamin here. Our father will die. He will have so much sorrow. So he's trying to explain. Let's read the verse 29.
And if he take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life.
See, he's trying to say, listen, I'm trying to request you, I'm trying to humbly tell you, my father is very attached to this child, and if we don't bring this child, my father simply said, you will bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. So he said, my father will die in this age. He's an old man, and he's going to die if he doesn't see son. He says, because his life is enrolled in this lad. Now this man might be 25 or maybe 20 years old, we don't know. But because he says, this man I'm going to keep. So he is not a teenager anymore. He's a man, grown-up man. I'm talking about Benjamin. But he says, Judah is saying, this is his lad, a little baby, little child. He is treating this Benjamin like a little baby. And if you take this baby out of my father's hand, he'll surely die. And so now Joseph is listening all these things. He is thinking, my father is going to die if he doesn't see Benjamin. And so he is a little bit confused what to do. Because Joseph never thought that this Judah is going to tell all this story to him. Joseph simply thought, they betrayed me, they sold me, so they can also do the same thing to Benjamin. But now Joseph is seeing something new. These people's heart is changed. They are not selfish anymore like before, for the money or the grain or just to their life. They are completely transformed. They are not the people like before. They are transformed. So his heart is bubbling inside when these people are saying these things. Verse 31.
It shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave.
Now again he is repeating. See, I told you my father said this. If I don't see Benjamin, you will bring the sorrow to my heart and I will die in my old age. And so he's saying, this is what my dad said. And now what you're doing, you are doing the same thing what my father said. You are going to let my father die with his old age, with the sorrow and pain, not seeing his younger son. Indirectly he said, do you want to see our father dying like this? That's why some people, you know, when some people are cruel and doing something cruel to you, treating your brother or sister or mother, then you say, don't you have a mom at home? Don't you have a sister like my sister? Don't you have a brother like me? Why are you treating us like that? So when you put them in that situation, they start thinking. So they get the message. When you treat somebody bad, somebody will treat you bad. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. But sometimes people forget. So you have to remind them. You treating me this way, somebody will treat you bad that way. One person gave me so much grief, and I do not know what to say. In my grief, I told him, you know what? The day will come exactly, and then you will feel the pain, exactly the pain I'm feeling. And the day came, and the man could not take that pain, and man died in his youth, in his 50s. The point I'm making, I was a godly man. Even the sorrow, somebody like stabbing me, and it was painful, I took that pain, but I told that man, the day is coming. You will feel the pain, the same pain I'm feeling. And I heard that same pain he was feeling, and that man died. But the point I'm making, if somebody's arguing with you and doing some injustice to you, think about it. If that person treating your wife bad, or your sister bad, or your husband bad, or your mother bad, or your business bad, or anything, remind them the day will come. You remember Joseph was crying, brother, please set me free. Let me go. I didn't do any harm to you. I bought the food. I bought the drink. You are enjoying the food and you are killing me, destroying me, putting in the pit. Have mercy on me. These people didn't care. Just enjoying the food and enjoying and laughing and giggling. And now, these people are feeling the pain. Judah is saying, you know what? God is reminding us our sin. We did some iniquity. We did some sin. We sow the bitter seed. And now we are harvesting this. So if somebody does something wrong to somebody without a cause, they will have their punishment. Not one time, many, many times, manifold. The Judah is the spokesperson, and God gave him wisdom to talk to his brother, convincing him that what you're doing is not right. We are not a bad people. And so he tried to convince him, and then last point he's saying, let's read verse 32.
For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren.
Now see what he's trying to say now. Last time they sold Joseph, got the money. And when he got the money, Judah went and got married. Some money from selling the Joseph and enjoyed his life. But now he changed. He said, you know what? I am giving my life behalf of my brother. You keep me. You keep me in prison. You want to kill me? Do whatever you want to do it to me. Because I promised my father, if I don't bring my brother back, your younger son, then I will be guilty for a lifetime. So I am going to give my life for my brother. That's an example of Jesus. You remember Jesus Christ came and he gave life for his brethren and he redeemed us. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. So God was preparing this Judah, means tribe of Judah, to bring Christ as a redeemer, to save and redeem the mankind. Jesus Christ came in a family of Judah. David was born. So David was the king. And so in the David's family, the Jesus was born. So Jesus became a king because of Judah's family. And another thing we read in the book of Hebrews, priesthood is changing. The priesthood was given to Levites, but now God says, I'm going to change the priesthood from Levite to Judah. Jesus Christ will be type of Melchizedek. His priesthood will be forever. And so Jesus Christ came from Judah. He will be the priest and he will be the king. He died just like Judah was saying, let me give my life, but let the Benjamin go. Jesus actually gave his life. And now he's a mediator in heaven as a priest between man and God. And then Jesus Christ is coming back as the king. He will be king forever. So this is the type Judah is saying, I want to give my life. Okay, let's read the verse 34.
For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?
Again he's saying, I cannot go without my younger brother. Perhaps something drastically wrong will happen, and my father will die. And that's what this chapter is ending, but you will see in the chapter 45. When all of these things Judah is telling to Joseph, Joseph was convinced. And you will see, then he reveals himself to these brethren. But in this chapter, Judah completely convinced the Joseph and saved Benjamin's life. So we get the message from here. We are here not for ourselves. We have to think about others. There are people dying without God and without Christ. If we be so selfish, some people I ask, oh, we don't have time. What do you do? Oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. How much busy? Do you have time to eat? Sometimes, oh, I don't have time to eat. How many days are you starving? Do you eat at least once a day? Yes. Why don't you then pray? Before you take your food, you should thank God. Start from there. And then you pray over your food, and you will be at least praying once a day. But there are people lie. They have nothing to do, but they say they are busy. Busy in what? Busy in busybody. The word of God said they are busy in busybody in somebody's business. They have no business to do somebody's business, and they're doing somebody's business without a cost, without a money. There are people, they don't take your phone. They think they're busy. No mother's phone, no daddy's phone, nothing. Daddy's number, who cares? He will wait. When their phone comes, we pick up right away. The point I'm making, you have to learn that you are not busy. You can find time. There are kings and the president, they find time. We are ordinary people. We have to find the time to pray. We have to find time to witness. We have to find time to talk to somebody. I said there are 700 clubs. They're TBN, 24 hours phone line open, everybody knows. And they have 800 number to dial, nothing to pay. Why people calling me? But the point I'm making, I am here to answer the call, talk to them. People call me, they have 20,000 member church. And the pastors from that church, they call me for prayer. And so I'm honored. I have dedicated my life to God. Other day I told you, we went to that convention. Many people went to that convention. What was their goal? Just sit there, have some drinks, have some coffee, and enjoy. I said to my wife, I'm not going there like that. I have to pay $50. I am going with a purpose. I'm going to go and talk to those two people who are main speakers. He said, oh, you'll never get a chance. I said, I will get a chance. And I did that. And then I say, second thing, I want to talk to the pastors and minister to them. I did that. And today, one of the pastor was there. He called me and sent me email and he said, Pastor Peter, we are gathering all the pastors and you are the main speaker and you're going to come tonight. Means today to preach there and preach 45 minutes and give your testimony. And the subject he gave, endurance. So the man calls, did you get my email? I said, sir, we have thunderstorm. So we plugged the computer out. So you might have sent this email, but what was the email all about? Oh, I'm coming to pick you up 5 o'clock, Sunday the 12th. Are you available? I say, yes, sir, I'll be looking forward. So the point I'm making, man is going to come here to pick me up, take me there and bring me back. How it happened? If I didn't go to that convention, I won't be meeting these people, and I won't be going for the pastor's special gathering today. The point I'm making, I make myself available. Sometimes people call in midnight. I try to take the phone, sometimes go in the basement and talk to somebody. Because all our church members, you can call me anytime, daytime, midnight, I'm available. I pray for people even though they left the church, but they cry and say, oh, I'm sorry. This, I can tell you a billion stories like that. But the point I'm making, we are available. And let you say, I am available, Lord, use me. Even though you're an ordinary person, people will call you for some time. Just be useful vessel and say, God, I'm available. Let's pray. Father, we are here in this world not for ourselves. We are here to serve you, to give our life for you. You gave your life for us. You gave the last drop of blood for me. And I'm not doing anything. So give me grace to do more. Supply our needs according to your riches and glory. Bless your people and give them grace to be useful vessel of God. So Lord Jesus, give us that kind of grace. We want to be a special people on earth, telling people, look at me, I'm a child of God. And your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.